Now, no one wants 15 minutes at the end of a morning session, so I'm just going to read one little verse on 1 Peter. I really had been enjoying 1 Peter and 2 Peter the last few weeks here. Been spending some time in there, and I made a few notes, and I'll be honest with you, I had no plans on giving them this conference, but it seems to be that's the direction the meeting has been going. So I'm just going to read this verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now that's not a hard verse to remember. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I think that's been the theme of our meeting this morning. We've been thinking of difficulties and trouble, and then we've been thinking of, in all situations, how we should really praise God. Casting your care upon him. I know primarily this particular verse is speaking about God. It says, humble yourself therefore in verse number 6 under the mighty hand of God, that ye may be exalted in due time. And then it says, cast your care upon him. But I've been really thinking and enjoying in my personal study just really an appreciation, some little appreciation of the care of the Lord Jesus. And what he really displayed when he was here on earth, how he really displayed his care towards the people. We can't help to, but when we read the Gospels, to understand that our Savior was really a caring Savior. You see, the two words in this particular verse, the first one, cast all your care, is really the thought of anxious care. And for he careth for you, that's really the thought of affectionate care. Two different cares there. Thought of putting all your anxious care on him, for he affectionately careth for you. The affection of the Savior. I think we'd all have to agree there's times in our life when we have cares. Sometimes those cares are very overburdening and sometimes very troubling. But yet we have one we can go to, we can cast those cares on him. You know, I was thinking of that word casting on him. It's not really the thought of just, you know, maybe suggesting that he takes our cares. But it's the thought really when those cares have become so heavy to us and so burdensome to us that we just, as it were, just roll them on him. Nowhere else to put those cares. We roll them on him. You ever had a heavy load? Maybe you're trying to move some furniture or something, and it's very heavy, it's very weighty, and they bring along the trolley, and you just take and you just finally lift that thing on that trolley, and that push that, and that hauls the weight. So that's really the thought here, is that he is really the one that is able to haul the weight of cares, anxious cares, things that bother us. We've been hearing about some already, and I'm not going to go into all those. We don't have time. But we've been hearing about some things, maybe family situations, maybe work situations, maybe financial situations, maybe it goes on and on, maybe health situations. And these are anxious cares, very heavy loads that we need to roll onto to him. You know, we really find that cares are really unnecessary when it comes down to it. And when I speak these things, I'm looking at really what the Bible tells us about these things, but understanding as well that I certainly would not consider myself to be a total example of having all these particular cares. Many saints, and there's saints here that have gone through far, far deeper valleys, and I hope I'll never go through those valleys. But they've gone through those very, very deep valleys, had very, very anxious cares. So what I'm looking at here today is not necessarily from experience, obviously, but we're thinking of really what the Word of God really says about cares. Really, care and worry is really unnecessary, isn't it? The Lord Jesus told us that. He said, you can't add to your stature. He said, you can't really, in Matthew chapter 6, when we read those Beatitudes, you find that really, you are what you are. You can't change the color of your hair. You can't really add to your stature. There's really, why are you taking care of these things? He says, our Father in heaven, he is really taking care of these things. We are in his hand, and he's looked after, he's taken care of. So really, those cares, we find that they're really unnecessary. There's really nothing we can really do about it. As much as we want to worry, as much as we want to fret, as much as we want to get ourselves in a stew and maybe the lack of praising God as we've been hearing, the fact is we really can do nothing about those cares, those worries. And of course, we know that we're really futile. They've never really solved anything. You know, as much as I could worry and fret and go on, I really could never solve any problems with my worries. They would never do it. Does that mean we don't take these things to God in prayer? Of course it doesn't. Of course we take them to Him. We cast them upon Him because He is one that is able to handle these things and able to take care of these situations in our life. You know, it's being said that really carry is, or worry is, really a sin. I don't like to be too hard and too difficult on that, but when you start thinking about it, you start understanding that really, when I take these cares and I make them all on myself and become burdened under them, instead of putting them over to where they should be, casting them upon Him, that really is sin. Why? Because, first of all, it denies the wisdom of God. We don't really know what God has in plan for us. We really say that God doesn't know what He is doing. It really denies the wisdom of God. God does not know. You remember the story of the Lord Jesus when there with Peter, or with the disciples in the boat, and there he's asleep on that pillow. Remember, they came to Him, they said, "Lord, carest Thou not that we perish?" In other words, you don't really understand this situation. God does really not know. So really, that is sin if we think that God doesn't know. God has a plan for our lives, and we need to understand that. And again, there's just basic outlines, and others can develop upon them in your daily reading. So we understand that it really does not, it questions the wisdom of God, and it also questions the love of God. It says He really doesn't care. And then, of course, it questions the power of God. Why? It says He's not able to deliver us from the cause of these worries. You know, I couldn't help to think of Daniel, lovely book of Daniel. And I was thinking of there the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're going to be put into that fiery furnace, and the king gives them an option to change their mind. And they said, "We really don't need your option. We really don't need your plans. We know our God. If that is in His plan, if He wants to save us, He will save us. If He doesn't want to save us, He won't save us. That is all in God's plan. We really don't need a second choice to change our mind." You see these individuals that had their mind stayed on the God of heaven. And of course, I was thinking of Daniel there. Remember the story there when Daniel was thrown in the den of lions? These are very basic, but we can't help to enjoy it. When Daniel was thrown in that den of lions, remember there, the lions, the viciousness of those lions, and the king is, he's pacing, isn't he? Oh, he's pacing. And what are the words he says when he comes to that den that day, and they pull the cover away from the den, and he yells down to Daniel, what are the words he says? "Is your God able? Is your God able?" Well, Daniel is there. "My God is able. My God is, you know, he's really, those lions have been his pets for the night. They've been friends to him for the night. His God is able." And the king, when he paced and couldn't sleep, Daniel was there in quiet comfort. Why? The king was concerned. His God, he didn't want to see Daniel destroyed. He realized the decree he had made was really, really something that he had repented of, but he had to carry out his word. He didn't want to see Daniel destroyed. And now he's hoping his God is able. And Daniel's quite confident that his God is able. So Daniel is not worried. But I was thinking, just to talk about for a moment, a few minutes, just about the life of the Lord Jesus. I was thinking different times when we go through the Gospels, how we read of the affectionate care of our Lord Jesus. As much as this is addressed to God, we realize that we come to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have come into a relationship with one that really does care. Many times he witnessed that. We remember that time when he's going into the city of Nain there, and there's that widow. You read the Gospel of Luke. Our brother Larry had some words in the Gospel of Luke that night, and you can't help to enjoy it. But there, the Gospel of the widows, and there's this widow, and there's her son that has passed. Remember, he goes up to that bier, and it says he touched the bier. I was thinking the touch of the Lord Jesus is really a sense of his care. Why didn't he just stand back, and why didn't he just speak words? But it said he went up and he touched the bier and shown that affection, that care, that concern for that dear widow. And there he raised that son from the dead. Many times you can read about the hand of the Lord Jesus, him stretching forth his hand. Remember that blind man came to him. And there was a man, I'm sorry, not the blind man, the man with leprosy came to him. There was a man who hadn't been touched for a long time. Leprosy. You know, the condition was deplorable. No doubt the sight was deplorable. No doubt the stench was deplorable. But yet the man from heaven, that lovely man from heaven, it says he touched him. He touched him. Did you ever think about that? Really, our distance was great, wasn't it? Did we not need the touch of the Savior? What were we in sin and trespasses? We were obnoxious to God. Isaiah really paints the picture. He says, from the very sole of the foot to the crown of the head, nothing, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, really spiritual lepers, and yet he touched us. Here's this man, he hadn't felt the touch for a long time. And the Lord Jesus, in compassion, he just puts forth his hand and he touches him. I wonder today if we felt his touch. We felt his touch in salvation. We've been hearing that this morning. But I wonder, do we feel his touch in our daily life? We feel the cares, the weights, the burdens. Do we feel his touch? Remember another scene there. He's been called to go and visit a daughter that is dying. And on the way there are interruptions, and there he has a woman comes to him, and she gets down, she touched that hem of his garment, and there she's healed, and he understood that he had been touched. He didn't object to her touching. And there that virtue had gone out of him, and he had healed that woman. But as he goes on, and of course you know how the story goes, how they come and they say to Jairus, don't worry, don't bother him now. Your daughter is dead, your daughter is passed. Don't bother him now. He said, fear not. He moves to the house and he tells him as he goes in, and of course they have the mourners, and no doubt professional mourners there, and they're making a great ado, and they're weeping because of the daughter, 12 years old, that had died. Remember how he goes in, takes those three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he takes the mother and the father. And there's the dead daughter. And he said he reached forth his hand and took her by the hand. Oh, the closeness. The hand of our Savior. He touched her. Remember that other scene, so lovely. They wanted to bring the children to Jesus. So touching, isn't it? The disciples say, oh, they're just children. Don't bother him. He's a busy man. He's doing all these wonderful things. He is busy. He doesn't have time. He says, suffer those children to come to me. Why did they bring them? That they said that he might touch them. Just to touch those children. Did he object to that? No, he didn't. He put his hand out and he touched those children and brought them close to him. I've often wondered what it was like if you could picture it of him there, sitting there with the children around him. And there, maybe he was telling them some of the loveliness of his person. I'm not sure what he was telling them. But there he is, the compassion, the tenderness for those children. Remember that busy night when he had gone and he'd healed Peter's mother. And there's many more of these. It says he went out into the night and they brought to him at night. At night. That's when we all want to put our head down. We want to rest. But they brought them to him at night. All from the city, that he might touch them and heal them. The touch of the Savior. You know, Peter was a great eyewitness to many of these things. And now I love the words of Peter. What does he say? Cast all your care upon him, for he careth. Today, brothers and sisters, in this little group here today, there's lots of concerns. Maybe the concerns are personal. Maybe the concerns are with the assembly. They can be far-reaching, those concerns. But I want to tell you, we have one that has touched the feelings of our infirmity. And we have one that is saying, Peter could say those words in spite of trial and difficulties. He said those lovely words. He said, just cast your care upon him, for he careth. May God bless his word.